Welcome to Nintendo Dad's episode 15. On tonight's episode, we discuss our impressions of the new 3DS. We've been playing a lot of games. Zach Frankensteins an Amiibo NFC, and Justin fights for his right to keep his Nintendo Network ID. Live from Wednesday night, it's Nintendo Dad's! Cue the music!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. Tonight is February 18th, 2015. My name is Zach Erickson, and joining me tonight, as is the usual, is Justin Masson. What's going on, Justin?
Hi, internet friends.
Also joining us is Jesse Waldack. What's going on, Jesse?
Same old.
Same old. Man, such enthusiasm tonight, people.
I always love, like...
Zach
and I come in hot, like, what's up, guys? Jesse is like,
hey, guys. Keeping it real.
Hey, man, we got to keep it grounded. Hey, otherwise, we're going to blast
three teenagers
off.
Yet.
No, we don't. That's a good point, sir.
Suddenly, is that what happens? Is you just become like calloused?
Calloused. Literally, all three of my kids had different after school activities going on, so I'm have to pick one up from after school, drop her off, and drop off, pick up my son who stayed after school, and then had to pick up my daughter from where I dropped her off, and then I was going to pick up my younger daughter, but I asked my wife on her way out of from work if she can pick her up.
Man, I am so glad that I have had that to look forward to.
Yeah, I just threw up my mouth.
We're getting to the point we can't wait for our kids to learn how to drive.
Yeah,
which
you're like,
I thought I would never get to.
Please, but take these keys there. To this speeding metal weapon and get out of my face. Awesome.
You know what I hear everyone's doing nowadays? Driving.
Right on. Well, hey, you know what else I hear lots of people are doing is playing games.
What?
All right, well, we are playing a ton of games this week. Obviously, last week, the new Nintendo 3DS XL dropped in North America, and I guess the other 3DS as well, which we don't speak of, dropped in Europe as well. So the whole world now has the new 3DS, and we've been playing a ton of games for it.
Let's
go with the bright-eyed new... member of the 3DS family, Justin. What have you been playing this week?
The bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, though, like, this is so fantastic.
Hey guys, there's 3D, and I don't even have to have glasses.
I can't fit this in my pocket. What is going on?
I'm having conversations from 4 years ago.
Exactly. So I'll save a bit of a story for later that I actually didn't get an opportunity to really start playing games till Monday night. But in that time, I downloaded a couple of games to play. First one I have been playing, based on Zach's recommendation, is Codename Steam, the demo, and I am loving that.
Nice. Have you played through the whole thing yet?
No, I'm 4 missions in. And, you always say when it's a demo, like, it's going to be relatively easy because it's a demo, right? They want to kind of... I'm actually struggling at points in this game.
Is that the one that is actually indoors, like with the chandelier and all that kind of stuff?
The one that I'm at right now, I just got my second character, John.
Okay, sure.
I finished that first episode.
Oh, there's like the prologue too. I forgot about that.
Yeah. It's just a really cool game. Like, it's really well done.
I think you're on the level that I couldn't pass.
Okay. I've got past like this, like where there's 3 of them bottlenecked me in one area, but I got past that. And now I'm kind of a little bit further ahead. It's a little more of an open area, but, it's just such a really good game.
Yeah,
I know that Jesse, you weren't as keen on it. I love the art style. I love the playability, kind of just the different factors. I love the team co-op or not team co-op, but the strategy components around it. I love the fact that, you have limited moves because of Steam. Some really, just really cool look. So this drops, I think it's on the 13th, March 13th. I'm just going to download, like just put in my queue right now for the auto download to come down. Like, it's just tremendous. So I'm playing that.
Now, quick question about that before. Now, have you been using, and maybe this gets in later to our impressions of the 3DS that we'll talk about after this, but have you been aiming with the C-stick or with the stylus controls?
Primarily with the C-stick.
Okay. Have you noticed that it's jumpy or oversensitive?
I find a little bit, yeah. Like I find I don't know whether I'm in target range or not, and it's I get kind of like the white square of like I identify there in air, but I don't get the crosshairs to shoot.
Yeah.
So I'm not too sure if I'm just not far enough or it's just not quite where I need to be. So
right.
Are you recommending stylist?
The stylist is a lot more precise. Where you basically will drag, you know, in order to it uses the, well, it's basically like a virtual joystick on the touchscreen, right?
Yeah.
And that is very similar to the sort of controls that even like Kid Icarus uses. Is that sort of stylus aiming. And I find it's more precise. So I went back and tried the demo with the C-stick. So.
Nice.
I don't know. That's kind of a thing. Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk about that more later.
I also been playing a lot with the 3D on, because obviously it's the first time I've really had an opportunity to use 3D. And it just provides a nice level of depth to that game that really makes it pop. So I've been so super impressed with Codename Steam. And that was the first game I downloaded once I got the system up and running, because that was such a big one that I wanted to play. Mm-hmm. Second one that I'm about 30 minutes into is A Link Between Worlds. And that's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Again, only about 30 minutes into it, but just the colors pop so well. Even in the first scene, it was funny because he wakes up in his cabin. Spoiler alert, and I guess it's only the first minute. It's not really a spoiler. Wakes up in his house, and there's a Majora's Mask on the wall.
Yeah. That
was such a nice homage, and especially the fact it was Majora's Mask weekend. Obviously, it wasn't planned for this weekend, but like it was just such a nice little tip of the hat. I was like, "Hey, look what I found!" And then it posted on my Miiverse photo as well. But
yeah, that was basically as well at a time when that was in there, where it was like, "Oh well, we don't know if we're going to release Majora's Mask, but sure did like having Ocarina of Time on the 3DS, you know." And so having that there was very much a sort of sign to fans, like, "Don't worry, guys, it's coming."
Yeah, it was a really nice kind of Easter egg. But the nice part about A Link Between Worlds is obviously it's a predecessor, basically a sequel to Link to the Past in some contexts. But there's a familiarity about it.
Spiritual successor.
Yeah, spiritual successor. Thank you. There's a familiarity about it, right? Like, you know the land. You know where you're going. You feel very comfortable and at home with it. I think it's very interesting that actually both these games are games that are using, I wouldn't say pre-existing assets, but both Majora's Mask and A Link Between Worlds are using assets or ideas or maps or designs that were pre-existing. That
the overworld's pretty similar, yeah. Right? I haven't played A Link to the Past, so
yeah, it's really really familiar. Colors in this case, again, in the 3D just pop, visually appealing, so lovely. Very happy that I picked it up. I know that you guys have been playing more Majora's Mask, but Link Between Worlds is just beautiful so far, so I'm happy with that.
I don't remember where I saw it, but there was an image I saw. Might have been like someone with a demo unit developer kit who could load up a screen and then change the camera.
Yeah.
Because those objects are polygons. Mm-hmm. There are 3D models.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to have the 3D effect the way it is, to look overhead, they're all like at a skewed angle.
Oh, yeah. So
they're standing, you know, they're standing at about 45 degrees looking up.
Oh, really?
So it's really awkward when you look at it from the side.
Yeah.
To get that view to work in political graphics.
But I think it's awesome. Picture that on Twitter this week, yeah. So, and then the other one that I've been playing is Mighty Gunvolt. Now, this is, there are two games if you go to the eShop. There are Mighty Gunvolt and there is Mighty Striker Gunvolt. Mighty Gunvolt is, I think, $3.50. It's an 8-bit throwback, and it's designed and built by some of the team that is the Mega Man team. And it's also a tie-in. There are some tie-ins to the design team of the Mighty No. 9. And it has a very 8-bit feel to it.
They gave this game away free for Mighty No. 9 backers.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a great little – so you've played it then, Jesse, have you?
The first one or two levels.
Yeah, I mean it's very Mega Man. Like, I mean the jump is Mega Man. The boss is Mega Man bosses. You know, they have to find the pattern on how to stop them. Like any game, the levels feel very familiar. So this is a really great kind of throwback game. Now I think, you know, something like Shovel Knight, you know, does that 8-bit retro feel so much better. But this is a nice, like, you know, for $3.50, this isn't a bad one to pick up. And I think especially as you're preparing for something like Mighty No. 9. And the interesting part about this one is that there's also DLC actually with it. So there's DLC levels that you can purchase later. I think those are also for like $3.50. So for the complete collective game is $7 or whatever. And I know that for a while, if you had bought Striker Gunvolt, the $16 one, this was actually bundled in for free for the first little bit as well. So really cool game. I'd recommend picking it up for $3.50. Not bad at all. And it's nice because you actually get to choose characters. So you can, at the very beginning of the levels or the game, choose between three characters. One of them is a girl. I think her name is Aurora. And then there's Gunvolt. And then there's Beck, who is the Mighty No. 9 character. So
I was going to say, isn't Beck playable?
Yeah, Beck is playable. So that was a really cool little thing. And again, for $3.50, you really can't go wrong with that. And it's a very small download as well. So those have been the games that I've been playing. Plus, I have been street passing, y'all.
Yeah. Right on. Street pass is awesome, dude.
I don't really consider that playing, but that's such a little cool feature.
Yeah.
There's one person I've been street passing a lot lately, and I don't know who she is. I don't know where we're meeting. She actually said, you know, you street pass enough, you can start sending personalized messages. She actually asked me, where are we meeting? And I'm like, I don't know.
That's so funny. Yeah. And you know, it's cool because, like my family, I mean, my son has a 2DS now. My wife has a 3DS that she plays Picross and stuff like that on. And so I've got like, because especially in Find Me, right? Like the sort of RPG-esque sort of adventure game there, as you street pass more than you can get up to a level 7. And so instead of doing 1 damage when it attacks, when the character attacks, it does 7 damage. And so, like, every day I've got at least, like, 2 level 7s. There are a couple of people at work who I'll, like, just stash it in my pocket for Street Pass or whatever. And, yeah, it's great. I love Street Pass. I actually own all of the DLC Street Pass games, too, that I used to play quite a bit. But now I'm like, I don't know. It's to the point now where if you actually buy all of them and try and play all of them every time you Street Pass, it's like a 20-minute sort of sit down and cycle through everything, and it takes forever. So
yeah, I think I only play 2 out of the 4 of those extra games.
There's like that top down shoot 'em up game that's pretty cool.
I don't like that one.
You don't like that one?
I don't like the flower one either. I like the I forget what it's called. The one when you're building an army and
it's kind of like Risk.
Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of similar to that, Risk or something.
And the haunted house. The
Luigi's Mansion type deal.
I'm actually really excited. I don't know, Zach, if you're going to the Calgary Expo.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm doing a 1-day pass, but I'm excited to go with my 3DS. I know it sounds really bad.
No,
you know,
I took mine a couple of years ago when I went. And there were a couple of times where I would sit down on a bench and I would have a full 10, you know, it'll max out at 10 street passes. So I'd clear my queue and get all the puzzle pieces and everything. And then it would be like, oh, you've street passed with more people. And I'd go to the thing and there would be 10 more people lined up. So like it was crazy.
Remind me when we talk about later about the network ID issue, about the remind me about the street pass issue I have as well.
Okay. I will.
Yeah. When I was at E3 in 2011, you know, these things have only been out 2 months and I had that same issue. Yeah, you know, I get 10 street passes. I do the puzzle. Of course, back then that was all you could do with it. Then, and they had the Find Me. You know, so I would do both of those.
Yeah.
But you know, when I needed to take a break at E3, I would just do the puzzle. That's all I would do. You know, burn through puzzles, get 10 more. Get burn through puzzles, get 10 more. Mm-hmm. And by the end of E3 that year, I did have all of the puzzles completed at that time.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And now, you know, I think I've only completed 2 puzzles ever since. And there's like 30 more puzzles.
Nice. Right on. Well, hey, man, I'm excited that you're finally... Welcome to the family, Justin.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Very, very pleasant. Very. I'm really. It sounds bad. I'm really excited for like my next trip where I have to travel somewhere where I have to.
Yeah.
Where I get to take this and not the one that like. Yeah.
Yeah. My biggest thing is that it is super easy to just lay in bed and like, oh crap, it's like 3 a.m. That actually happened to me last night. So, oh crap, it's 3 a.m. I have to work tomorrow. What am I doing with my life?
Yeah. I may or may not have woke up my wife last night because I was playing Gunvolt.
Yeah, and she's just go to bed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Headphones, dude.
No, it wasn't that. It was me clicking the Y button so fast.
Oh, really?
I was firing and against a boss. I was like,
oh, that's awesome.
She's like, you suck. And I was like, I played Codename Steam for like 40 minutes before she woke up.
Yeah.
Because I had no sound for that, right?
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, right on. Jesse, I think you and I both are sharing the same game this week. And before we do that, I actually found this because. And I felt like a game like this, it needs to have the right mood.
Mood is the right word for it.
Anyways, we are talking, of course, about Majora's Mask 3D. Jesse, why don't you take the reins on this one? How are you liking it so far?
I've always had issues with
okay,
the game.
Okay, that's kind of distracting. Yeah. Sorry, I'm going to turn the music off.
Yeah, I've tried playing it, the N64 version, 3 or 4 times. I've only ever gotten to the first dungeon once. And then once I finished it, I really kind of stopped at that point. So I was hoping that I'm getting all tangled up here. I heard that they were smoothing things out, making the quests literally easier to manage, changes with some of the songs. So I'm like, all right, this might actually be able to get me going. And I've already gotten past where I've gotten past, in the first 2 or 3 hours playing.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm having a different problem. I'm getting into the problem where I have so many quests in my notebook, I don't know what I should be working on next.
Right. How far into the game are you then?
I've only finished one dungeon, but I have, you start with the 3 container hearts, so you get 1 heart for finishing the dungeon. That's 4. I have 6 hearts right now. I've already picked up 8 of the pieces. I think there's like 24 in the game.
Right. Okay.
So
you've been doing a lot more side quest stuff then.
I've been spending most of my time working on the quests, going through the new notebook features. And one thing that's helping is the song where it moves you forward.
Yeah.
In the old game, it used to only bring you to the 6 o'clock or the midnight or or noon in 6 hour segments. Now you can move it to any time you want. So if you know there's an event going on at 2 p.m, you can go right to that spot.
And it's within that same period, though, right? Like, before it would skip you right to the end of that period of that particular day, and now it's like, oh, you can only skip... If you want, you can skip forward 4 hours instead of just going straight to it and having to wait around and stuff.
You can't jump a day. You still have... You're limited
between... You have to play it more than once, yeah.
Yeah, you're limited between where you're at and 6 a.m. the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But in one-hour chunks. So you can pick... You can pretty much pick the exact time you want.
Right. Yeah, no, I've been playing this game a ton, and I lately, I don't know what it is, but lately I've also kind of like a side note, my wife has been working like evening shifts, and so after the kids go to bed, if there's one thing my wife hates, it's horror movies, like just scary movies in general. She hates watching them. And so lately, like, she goes to work, the kids are in bed, and I'll like stay up and watch like weird movies on Netflix or whatever. Like, I watched The Shining the other day, and like, I don't know. Wow. Lots of like weird movies, just like that. I don't know what it is lately, but I've just kind of been on a horror kick. And so this is just hitting it like the perfect right time for me where I'm like, man, this game is freaking creepy and weird and I love it. There's so many. I actually checked my activity log, which, by the way, Justin, I don't know if you've discovered the activity log yet.
But I have.
It's a terrifying thing. It's like, I actually went and checked to see how much time I've logged into this game since Friday, and it is over 19 hours so far.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't think I'm that far. I should check.
I was like, I have finished the third temple, And I've been doing some of the side quest stuff, but it's mostly just been, you know, just playing through the game and just enjoying it. It's so good just to kind of, you know, just the mood of it, the music in it is so great. And so many of those, like there's this really weird quest that you, once you discover the ranch, have you seen this? Do you remember this quest, Jesse, at the ranch with the UFOs and stuff?
I remember visiting the ranch in previous playthroughs, but I haven't actually found it yet in this one.
Yeah, it's, you unlock it. I think you unlock it after you beat the second, once you unlock the Goron mask and you get like the big powder keg, basically, I think. But, yeah, it's freaking weird. Like, it reminds me of an episode of The X-Files where it's just like, you know, the ghosts or the aliens come and like abduct this, spoiler alert, by the way. I guess that's kind of a given, but it's a 10-year-old game. but basically, like, there's this whole quest where you have to fend off aliens from abducting the cows, and then they're like, the girl gets abducted too, and then then the aliens bring her back, and she's traumatized, and like, it's really dark. And I know that that's kind of the sort of consensus around the game. Is that it's super creepy. What are we saying here? 9 hours. Yeah, dude. Here, in my defense, I had like, I don't know. Again, my wife's been working evenings, and so I just like curl up with Majora's Mask and creep myself out. But yeah. It's just so good. I really enjoy that game a lot. So
I'm gonna let you know, I've put that on my wish list.
Yeah?
My Majora's Mask on my wish list for games.
Have you played it at all, Justin? Like, did you play it in the N64 days?
No, I didn't. But like I said, I have it on the Wii U, or on the Wii, on my Wii U in the Wii virtual mod console area from purchasing it. But even for when I played the hands-on a couple of weeks ago at Toys R Us, I was pretty impressed with it. And obviously, I've been watching a lot, you know, as we have to, as Nintendo commentariers. Commentariers? That's not a word. Sounds like a dog that got lost. Come here, commentariers.
Oh, man.
That's the next Nintendo Dogs game.
Commentariers brought to you on the 3DU. Every show I can sneak it in there.
Without fail.
Yeah, but I've been watching a lot of YouTube and a lot of the other websites. Reviews and discussions about it. It looks really good. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted to jump into Link Between Worlds first. But
yeah, I think that's the right choice, frankly. Like, it is nice to play a remake, but Link Between Worlds is just so good. I love that game.
Yeah, but I have got it. I mean, you can see it right here. Mm-hmm. Boom, she's in my wish list.
Nice. Very cool. So. So yeah, do you have anything else to add? I guess the one thing that I would add about that is that From the N64 version to the 3DS version, there have been a couple of changes in controls that are a little bit weird that I think some reviews have noticed or mentioned. For example, with the Goron suit, initially in the Nintendo 64 version, you know, he has that sort of rolling move. Oh, I just bumped my mic there. The rolling move that he has where you like roll and then eventually you get spikes. In the Nintendo 64 version, you would hold down, I think it was the A button or something, and as long as you were holding down that button, you would roll, and as soon as you would let go, then you would stop rolling. In the 3DS version, you tap the A button, and that begins the roll, and you hit the button again, and he stops rolling. So that it feels weird. To do that, there's a similar sort of thing with the swimming with the Zora mask, where the controls are a little bit different. It changes the feel a little bit, but other than that, it's still they're still great games. It's nothing that's going to destroy your enjoyment of the game. And again, the C-stick is great for the camera control. I was actually surprised at how much I've been using that. So yeah.
I've been using it a bit too. I've normally still use the L button to center the camera behind me is habit, just because every game does that. But when I really need to fine tune, I'll hit that C-stick and it works pretty good.
Except every once in a while when it doesn't work at all. Like, you're in an area where the perspective is forced at a specific angle, and then it's like, well, what's going on here? Oh, wait, I just can't do it right now. So, and that actually happens even more in the other game that I wanted to talk about, which I picked up. I have these weird moments where I'll just get on the eShop and like just kind of wander around and like I'm like window shopping or whatever, and then suddenly I will have this urge like, oh man, that game looks good. I remember reading reviews of this game, and suddenly before I know it, it's downloading. And that's exactly what happened last night with Monster Hunter 4. I was like, oh, suddenly this game is downloading onto my 3DS. But no, I've bought that game. I played it a little bit last night. I'll probably talk about it more next week once I get a little bit more time into it. I've had a couple hours, but I think initial impressions are that this game is it's absolutely a gorgeous game. Like from a technological standpoint, this is probably the best game I've seen on the 3DS. As far as you know, purely graphical, you know, from a graphical aspect. I know that the action on the new 3DS specifically, they actually have upgraded textures that versus if you play it on the regular 3DS, they're higher resolution textures. So, it's a beautiful game, first of all. And I actually feel like, there is a strong comparison to be made. I have played World of Warcraft in the past, Diablo, and that sort of gear hunting, sort of just playing and fighting and collecting things and going and doing quests and all that kind of stuff. The single player aspect of it so far feels like that. It definitely, and that's something that I haven't really seen or had that sort of experience on a handheld and B, on any sort of a Nintendo console really that I can think of. I haven't played any of the other Monster Hunter games, and so I'm assuming that's just kind of the niche that these games fill. But it's definitely a lot of fun so far, and I'm looking forward to trying all the different weapon types as well. There's a lot of different... It basically boils down to different classes that you would have in like an MMO or something like that. So, yeah, it's been really fun, and I'm looking forward to playing more of that. If any listeners actually... our Monster Hunter gurus, definitely hit me up on Twitter and let me know that you're willing to take me under your wing as a new player. It's definitely the kind of game that it seems like the most fun is to be had if playing online with other people. So, I'll definitely be looking for that as I kind of get my feet wet more with that. So yeah, I'll probably be talking more about that one next week though. So. Right on. Anything else that we want to add before we move on, guys? Okay, awesome. Heading on to the news. All right, so heading up with the news. First of all, we want to talk about our general impressions of the 3DS. And Justin, you teased it earlier. You have a little bit of a story for us for the Nintendo ID. You had a little bit of the transfer, and we'll talk a little bit about the transfer process in general. But you, in particular, had quite a little bit of a adventure.
Debacle.
Yeah.
A debacle. Sure. A conundrum, a quarry, a challenge, if you would. So, I back in September, for those of you who might have recalled, I had a friend, his name was Russell, who lent me his 3DS because I really wanted to play the Smash demo. So he had lent me his 3DS, and I decided, so here was my logic. I thought, okay, I'm going to sign into Russell's 3DS with my Nintendo Network ID and download the game.
No.
Yeah, first and foremost, worst idea ever. But my assumption was pure because I thought, well, if I download it, it'll be tied to my network ID. And then what'll happen is that once I'm done and I give the system back to Russell, he'll, you know, go to the settings, backspace out my name, put in his name, and he's tied up, right? So, because really what I want to make sure is that Russell had the ability to download the game on his own account ID, because you only have a certain amount of plays on a demo, right? So I didn't want to take up all those plays. So what I didn't realize at the time was when I did that, I associated my Nintendo Network ID with Russell's 3DS.
Because he so had not registered an ID to his 3DS.
Correct. Because he had not registered an ID to his 3DS. So Friday, when I get my device, I'm happy. We're excited. We've got we've gone through the whole purchasing it, and we've got the new 32 gig chip in it, right? We've taken off the back of it. We've gone through the whole rigmarole, and I'm like, oh, well, I got to start downloading games, right? It's going to be a wicked weekend. We got a long weekend. I've got some time. I can play some games. And when I went to register it, it said, no, your current ID is registered somewhere else. And so it struck me, all right, okay, it's registered with Russell. So I contact Russ and I said, hey, Russ, if you could just go in there, sir, and just, backspace me out of there and put your name in and register me, we'll all be good. Well, that's not how the Nintendo Network ID works. Once you have nope. registered it to a device, it is not as easy as backspace, cancel, delete.
Yeah, this is not an iPhone where you simply sign out and sign into a new one.
Yeah, and I think, it's funny, Zach, you and I had a conversation offline about this, but that's really almost the approach that I took to it, is I'm used to an environment where your ID can be moved based on the device that you're at. So I didn't think that this would be the hugest, biggest idea or challenge that it was. So after spending time with Nintendo's customer support, not being able to get through to them originally due to the high call volumes, which is completely expected, I sent them submitted a ticket to be answered. Did a lot of research on Google of like, oh, how do I just delete it and how do I release my network ID? And a lot of it was you can't. You have to do system transfer. So Monday morning, I actually got on the horn with Nintendo customer service, called them, talked to them, and they said to me straight out, no, sir, we can't release any of the IDs from the device. The only way you can do is system transfer. Or the other option is, sir, you delete your ID. You delete your ID from the device, but you cannot have that ID tied to any other devices.
Which is also, it's also tied to your Wii U, right?
Correct. Also tied to my Wii U. So I use all that there. Or option number three was I would have to have a completely separate ID for my Nintendo 3DS.
Which you then, like we had discussed before, like then you would not have a shared eShop balance between the two devices.
Right. So, and I think, I know Russell, he doesn't use his 3DS that much. So I knew he wouldn't be purchasing a lot of games. So I wasn't really concerned about that component of it. But what really more struck me as concerning is that more the future of what Nintendo may be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea of tying your network, your potential network IDs with what you have purchased. And I think, I've listened to a lot of podcasts over the last week and leading up to the 3DS. Even holding the 3DS in my hands and the configuration that there's, these new buttons they've added, it is getting closer and closer to a Wii tablet or a Wii second tablet. I would not be surprised. We've talked about this before that in E3, they mentioned that they have tied the network IDs together where if I purchase something on the Wii U that is able to be played on the 3DS, that it's accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are all going to be tied to whatever your Nintendo Network ID centralized point is. So for me, if I felt like I was going to create a secondary account, I wouldn't have access to those things to go across the board.
Yeah.
So I ultimately ended up calling up my friend Russ, and I said to him, here, sir, we have a couple solutions. And obviously this is my problem, not yours, and it's your device, your property. So I'm going to give you a couple choices. And the choice I said to him is either A, I can give you back your device, and I set my own new network ID on my 3DS, and that's just the way it is, and we live happily ever after. Or I do a system transfer, your 3DS becomes completely wiped, and I give you a gift card for the games that you are going to lose.
Which games did he have, by the way?
So what he had is he had the original NES, Super Mario for the NES.
Mm-hmm.
So I priced that out as $5 in the eShop. He had Rusty's Real Steel Baseball, which is free.
Mm-hmm. Had he bought any of the other mini games or anything like that?
He had bought some of the mini games, correct, through the Street Pass area. And he had Four Sword Zelda, the Anniversary Edition, because he was part of the Ambassador Program.
Oh, wait. He was part of the Ambassador Program?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
No, Four Swords wasn't
Four Swords an wasn't an ambassador.
Game, but oh, it was no, just wasn't
a, it? It was just a free game that they had for a limited time once they turned on the eShop.
Oh, okay, sorry. So then he got that as well.
I was going to say, if he's an ambassador, then that's a whole new bag of cats or whatever.
Yeah, so sorry, then he had that. So, I mean, I went in there and did a quick price quote of like how much that would have cost.
Which, right? I don't think you can buy that.
No, you can't. I went and checked. So I gave him those options, and he felt it was fine to do the transfer. So in the transfer, I acquired a couple things. I did acquire Super Mario for the NES or mm-hmm. NES version. I acquired Zelda's or Four Swords. I acquired Rusty's Real Steel Baseball. I also acquired all of his Street Pass data.
Oh, wow.
All of it.
So, like, how many of the puzzles did he have?
A lot of them.
Wow, that's kind of
so
a...
So, if I open up Street Pass right now, bear with me one second here. And here's the challenge, is that I like the idea of Street Pass, but now I feel like some of the surprises have been ruined because he has them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I look at this right now, and it's interesting when we talked about Street Pass, this was a thing that Russell, out of everything that he was losing, this was the thing he was the most disappointed to lose.
Yeah, totally, dude.
So he has 987 Street Pass tags and a population of 600, people in his plaza.
Holy cow. Yeah. No, that'd be a huge bummer to lose all that.
Yeah, so he lost a lot of that, which is the worst, right? Like out of everything, that's the thing that I kind of felt the worst for. I know that sounds like very odd, but it was something that, you know, he had taken a lot of time, and that was the thing that he kind of felt the absolute worst for losing. So so here's my challenge: is I like the idea of Street Pass. I think it's really cool, but I want to do it from fresh, right? Like I want to do it like I have no one in my plaza. But the agreement that I've kind of created with Russell is I want to try and give him some of the stuff that he's given me.
Mm-hmm.
So he works the same office as I do. So he's bringing his DS to work every single day. And every single day, I'm going to bring mine.
And so you're going to slowly street pass all those puzzle pieces back?
As much as I can for the next, like, 4 months or 2 months.
Man.
And then right before the Calgary Expo, I'm going to wipe my street passes completely clean.
Nice.
And then I'm going to hit the Calgary Expo. I have a couple other conferences that I'm going to that would definitely acquire those things back, or at least acquire some of it, because I think it's such a cool feature.
Oh, it's awesome.
So yeah, for me, that's been my challenge on how we got here. Nintendo Network idea, I wish it was much more like Apple's, and that was the assumption that I made.
And you know what? That is a perfectly reasonable assumption to make, because literally everybody else does it that way. Microsoft does it that way with the Xbox. I mean, if you buy a new Xbox, you don't have to transfer, right? You probably have to transfer the save data, I would assume. Yeah. But I think even now you're looking at even like cloud saves on the PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of catching up that Nintendo has to do on that aspect. So,
and I would think that Nintendo would have been able to disassociate your ID with his unit so you can log into it, because I've heard of them do that in the case of lost and stolen units.
Yeah, I think
in that case, what still would have happened though was basically they're doing the system transfer on their end instead of on the consumer end. And I mean, the whole reason that they would do it on their end is because you're going to transfer all of your licenses, but they're all of the licenses, because the games on yours, you were saying that the games, he had bought games and then you essentially claimed them when you logged into the 3DS, right? So
yeah,
that's,
and that was really the objective. I'd said to the lady on the phone, I said, like, listen, he purchases with his own money. He's done all these things on his own. I don't want any of that. I just want my ID. Like, I just want the name Masson23 off of his system so he can have all the stuff back. And like, it's the weirdest thing, because all it really is just a tag. That's all I want,
mm-hmm.
is my tag back. So it was a very arduous process. And in the end, like, you know, I'm happy you're able to do it and this, but like still, I'm still not getting quite the new 3DS user experience, because some things aren't new. Right, like my activity log shows that I have been playing Street Pass since 2012.
Yeah.
Right, that's my number one activity. Well, it's definitely not my number one activity.
Yeah.
Right, so a lot of the data is not pure data. It's a little bit corrupted, mm-hmm. In those kind of ways. So, you know, man, it's a hard knock life, I guess, but
yeah,
I mean,
first world problems, but still problems nonetheless.
Yeah.
I kind of have a similar but different problem with my daughter's 3DS. Yeah. When I bought, I think it was Zach Erickson's old 3DS when Me? When he got it in Excel. Not Jack Zarekin. It's Zach. O'Neil? Not you. Zach Miller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was his old 3DS. When he, anyway, so it was factory wiped when I got it. So we set it up for my youngest daughter. She put a nickname on it, and then since then we bought a few games on it. We have Pokemon X on it, and she's got a crap ton of hours in it. We have Art Academy. We have Mario Party. I think those are the three games mm-hmm. installed on it. So I got a hold of an extra code for Flipnote Studio 3D that I was going to install on her system. But I go to the eShop and it says, put in your passcode, your password for your Nintendo Network ID. But the problem is, it's not her Nintendo Network ID, it's someone else's. She never logged into the Nintendo Network ID on that unit because we bought all these games before it was a thing for 3DS. So what I think, and I even verified that with Nintendo when I talked to them, is, her Nintendo Network ID is blah. Do you see it attached to a 3DS? And she said no. So what I think happened is last October, we shipped it to Nintendo to get repaired, and they might have done a system swap. And somehow in that process got the old ID from the old system. Mm-hmm. Even though it still has her name and her me on it, it's got someone else's Nintendo Network ID, so we can't log into eShop. So I asked them, how can we fix this without blowing up the data? Because you can't back up, you can't back up save states like you can on the Wii. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to lose that the gameplay data. And so far, the only solution they've come up with is not. You got to format the system.
Oh, that's like, garbage, dude! It's such a. I don't know. They need to fix this, and I know that they've been saying that they're going to work on it. My guess is that we will see the full implementation of their the fully realized. I think we're going to start seeing hints of it at E3, and then going. But I think it probably won't be fully realized until the 3DS successor is out, frankly. I think it's probably built into the infrastructure of the 3DS, and so until the new, or into the hardware. So that would be my guess, but.
It's actually interesting when you kind of on that. I was listening to a couple of the other podcasts that actually made the argument that they believe that the processor and the content that the new 3DS is holding and the specs is actually what will allow them to push towards this unification mm-hmm. is because it's closer to the Wii U specs, which gets things closer. So, it might be a half measure at first at least, and probably not fully what we want, but I think it'll be at least getting somewhere closer because, this was a little bit crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
So I kicked it back to Nintendo opening another ticket referencing the original ticket saying there's got to be a way to do this without blowing up my stuff.
And you know what? At some point, it's just like, sorry, we don't have any tools for that. I don't know. It's so, kind of
worst case scenario. We're going to leave that system alone so she doesn't lose her data, and I'm going to let her use my old 3XL, which is currently formatted, waiting for a new user, mm-hmm. and we'll put a Flipnote on that for her.
Right on.
But because she has a Nintendo Network ID, she from the Wii U.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Moving on as well, I think I want to just talking about the new 3DS in general, we kind of started talking a little bit about the transfer process. For you, Justin, obviously there was a transfer. Once you actually did the transfer process, I know for me as well, I was surprised at how long it took, even though I basically only transferred the basics. It still took – how long did yours take, Jesse? Mine took about an hour and a half.
And did you guys do computer or did you Wi-Fi?
Did it through computer.
I did it through, I did the, I don't remember why I did it this way, but I ended up doing the minimal Wi-Fi transfer where it just transfers the licenses, which I think is pretty similar to what the PC transfer was. But, I did the over Wi-Fi, but it was just the licenses. And I think it may have transferred save data and stuff like that too, but save data isn't really that big. So, but it took quite a while. I was surprised.
Save data, I think depending on the game, is either on this, is on, installed on the system. Sometimes it's on the SD card, but DSiWare is installed on the system. That doesn't go to SD. So right. when I did the PC transfer, so before it would let me get to the point where I take out the SD cards and move them to a computer, it would transfer over the SDI, the DSiWare over the network. So that I had, I think, 15 apps, which, so that alone took 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so, and then it, I had 16 gigs on my SD card. It was half full. So it took about an hour each way to copy the stuff from the SD card to the computer and another hour to copy it back to the new SD card.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So the whole process took probably 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah, it's a pretty obscene process. And I think that, you know, it's pretty easy in a situation like that where you have that long of a process going on that you're going to lose something. And I know I've heard people, you know, having nightmare things where they lost all their save data and all that kind of stuff. But that I think we were kind of expecting. So
I didn't lose anything.
Yeah, I didn't either. Actually, I was surprised. The next thing, as far as other things that starting out, as far as other things, maybe while we're, and I feel like we're being really down on Nintendo right now with all of this sort of stuff. And having said all of that, like, is there anything else that we don't really like? I know for me, when I took the back panel off, I had seen things from like IGN where it's like, oh, it makes this really bad crack sound when you open it up, but don't worry, it's okay. I am here to tell you, no, it's not okay. If it cracks, that is a bad thing.
As I was removing the back, I kept a close eye on where the contact points were. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I didn't just kind of rip the whole back off. You know, I took care to put pressure exactly where I needed it.
Yeah.
On those points, so it wouldn't snap the whole thing in half.
Yeah, like but I...
There was like eight, I think there was eight pressure points on there.
Yeah, looking at this, like I unscrewed it, and it's got the spots where you use the stylus to pry up the sides and all that kind of stuff, and I was doing that, and I was doing fine, and then suddenly I hear this terrible crack noise, and I look down, and there are two specific tabs right on either side of the headphone jack, right? Where they kind of slide into place and lock in there, and there is now, I can actually see it right now, there is a little bit of a strain, like a plastic stress. You know how plastic will turn white when it gets bent too far? Just barely visible if you see it, it's definitely there, where one of those tabs was just bent a little bit while I was doing it. Drives me crazy. But yeah, so be careful, everybody, when you're doing that that change there. So but other than that, I mean, it was a pretty simple, you know, change over there. It was just that for whatever reason, I just wasn't very careful with it, and I should have been, but kind of sad, but oh well.
It's okay. I wonder if we'll be able to register our systems with the new reward program that they're going to unveil.
Yeah, hopefully there's some sort of like,
since we can't use these for Club Nintendo.
Yeah, like the serial number, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. That would be interesting. Other things that I particularly don't like, we were talking a little bit before the show about the 3D. Justin, you were saying that you were having a hard time with the 3D face tracking. I know that me personally, if I'm kind of a hat guy, like I sometimes just like a baseball cap or whatever, I'll just wear it to work or whatever if I'm too lazy to do my hair. I don't know. I'm in a pretty casual work environment. But I've noticed if I'm wearing a hat, I have to turn my hat backwards and get my game face on, and then it will track properly. But if I'm wearing it with the brim forward, then it doesn't track very well. So, you were saying you're having troubles with that too, Justin.
Yeah. I've had a couple cases, you know, like last night when I was laying in bed playing, I was finding it was kind of kicking a little bit, and I figured, okay, well, it's probably, you know, Jesse made the point of maybe the low light, for example. And of course it was midnight and I had the lights off. So yeah, I can imagine that's probably low light. But even like today I was at the office and was using it. It feels like you find like that sweet spot, and it even shows you like on the, you know, when you're prepping your 3D, it's gonna be like 14 inches away from your face and a certain angle. And, when I'm in that sweet spot, it's great, but every once in a while you kind of just move it or you bring your head back and forth. It does
kind of flickers there for a minute.
Yeah, flickers and jars and has to find you. And, so that's one thing that I'm kind of a little bit not in love with.
I actually wish that they would, and maybe it's buried in a setting somewhere, but actually have the face tracking turned off and just leave it the way that the 3DS XL was, you know, just like, is there an option that you can go in there and say, just leave it facing forward? I don't need you to track my face.
I think that's a super stabilizer feature in there. I think that is a feature you can turn off.
Okay. And yeah.
I know it's listed as one of the system options. I just haven't gone into it to see what.
Yeah, I should look into that because, I mean, it doesn't bother me. And I think the thing is that I've noticed is that if it in low light conditions specifically, like, were you playing, like, was it pitch black, Justin, or was it?
Oh,
like,
yeah, it was, the room was completely dark. I just turned on my 3DS.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, like the little red light that you see when the 3D's turned on as well that you see on the top there. Yeah. I think it may just be having a hard time in the super dark conditions, but you may also have, I mean, another thing I've noticed is that the auto brightness is a little bit like, too excited about changing. Mm-hmm. You know what? Wow, you got like, what's going on over there? It's almost like a little bit too eager to change the brightness. I actually turned the auto brightness off. I was like, forget it, just get out of, just stop. Just I like too, cranking it up.
Because if I was sitting on the couch and there isn't a light above me, but there's a light to the left and light to the right. So depending on just even shifting, modified the brightness enough for it to dim and bring up.
Like, yeah, and I really like to crank up the brightness on mine too. It looks really good. Even if I'm laying in bed, I'll like crank up the brightness just to get a little bit more of the color.
Burn out your retinas.
Yeah, exactly. Just to make sure that my wife can't sleep when she's laying next to me. I'm more than can you turn down the brightness on that? But yeah, no. And so I turned that off too, but it's a nice feature. It's just something that I personally don't need. But as far as the actual hardware itself, like, man, this thing, first of all, it feels so much nicer. I love it just feels like a better piece of hardware compared to the original XL. I just love it. It feels great in your hands and, it's super fast. Like, I played some Smash Brothers as well, and man, that thing boots up super fast. There's no real lag. Well, there's still some lag, and that was one thing, is that while I was playing Monster Hunter, I wanted to take a screenshot of, like, my dude and the Mario cat that I had there and post it to Miiverse. And it still took a little bit of time for Miiverse to boot up, but it was definitely not, like, the 45-second load time that it was before. So it's definitely it's definitely a huge improvement for that as well, so... what about you guys? Anything else you like, don't like...
I'll just say right off the bat, I love it. Like, yeah. I'm super, super happy and impressed with it. Now, again, I'm moving from the DSi Lite or DS Liteware. So, I mean, you could basically give me a cardboard box and I probably would have been happy. Yeah. But no,
like,
you know,
a viewfinder.
Viewfinder and like, oh, it's Mario. Oh, this is great.
It's 3D.
But this is
you
the funny
came
part,
from
right?
the like, system that I skipped. I went from the DS Fat to the DSi.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing, right? We're complaining about, like, oh my gosh, the 3D isn't as stable as I want it to be, guys. It's like, we're not wearing glasses, 3D glasses, so shut up.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, I'm super impressed with it. I think probably the only quarrel I would have, and this sounds like probably the funniest quarrel that sounds stupid, is it's almost too big.
Oh, it totally is. Yeah.
Like, I put it in my jacket today, and I have, like, a North Face jacket. Pretty much a nice little bomber. I get a lot of attention to the Tim Hortons with it.
oh, my gosh, but, dude.
But, I throw it in my pocket, and, like, it's
must have been a Canadian joke, because I don't get it.
No, sorry. I'm, like, dying over here. So, yeah, no, we were just at Tim Hortons, and the waitress or whatever, not even waitress, you know, the hostess was like, that is a really nice jacket.
It must keep you really warm. I was like, yeah, I guess. It looks good. I was like, all right. Like, this is like the most like standard generic North Face, like everyone and their dog in Canada has this jacket.
Oh my gosh.
It was
kind of literally weird. Tearing up over here. That's hilarious.
But the biggest challenge I have with it is actually its size.
Oh yeah, totally.
and it's like putting it in your, and you can't put it in your pants pocket, and throwing your jacket looks like you're going to kill a man with it. The only other challenge I kind of have with it is actually my finger placing of it, because of the way the bumpers, the back bumpers are on the L, Z, L, Z, R, and R button, kind of mm-hmm. like how that fits when you're playing like with the C stick and everything else. So that's kind of
like your hands are a little bit almost too strained to get all the way around it. I just find
that comfortable spot on how to play. But I mean, other than that, I mean, you know, I love, like, I was thinking originally, like, if I didn't have a Wii and I was just like, oh, I have, you know, I'm going to pick up a system, I might just pick, like, a Wii U, I might have just picked up a 3DS and stopped there.
Yeah.
Because it's such a great portable device. I'm so impressed and happy with it. I can't, and I think, you know, the back panel issue, I think you're definitely right. Is there some things wrong with it? Yeah. Like, for one, guys, if you're requiring me to take off a back panel, give me the screwdriver to use the back panel, take it off with.
Yeah, for real.
The AC adapter should have been included. We should have had more choices than red and black, and Monster Hunter or Majora.
And those, like, shouldn't have been so damn limited.
Yeah. But like, when you boil it down to like the fundamentals of the machine actually working and doing what it does. Yeah. It is wicked sweet. I'm super impressed with it. So, and I haven't even tried stuff like the NFC chip yet. But I mean, yeah, it's blazing fast, and I thought it was wicked. So
right on, man.
The one thing I do wish like our friends list, cause I had to re-register you guys as friends. Like, if it's tied to my Nintendo network ID, it should take the network ID of Nintendo people that I have on my Wii U list,
yeah,
and cross-reference and be like, oh, they also have a 3DS. Bang, they're there.
Yeah. No, that was another thing. And that was the friends list, or the Nintendo network ID, is an afterthought on the 3DS. It didn't launch with the Nintendo network ID. And so, again, it may just be... There's also, Nintendo is, you know, really protective of their younger audience as well. And so I think part of it is, on the Wii U, if you follow somebody on the Miiverse, then you can request to be their friend if you're on Wii U. If you're on the 3DS, you cannot request to follow, or you cannot request to be somebody's friend on the system. And they're very strict about policing. Hey guys, add me. This is my friend code. If you post that on Miiverse, it will be taken down. So they're pretty active as at like protecting younger gamers from stuff like that. Yeah. And it is a hassle though to like have to take a picture of your, you know, like what we did basically, where take a picture of it and text it to all your friends and, you know, yeah, that kind of thing.
Did that link that I gave you work?
Yeah, it did. Thanks very much, by the way, Jesse. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. So you should have a friend request for me if you haven't already, and I think I have.
Yeah, he wouldn't know, though, is the thing, because...
yeah, you can't actually send requests. It's, you know...
Well, it's just registering the number.
You just register it, and once you've registered each other. And
unless the other side registers you, it just sits there, does nothing.
Yeah. Mm,
yeah,
so
that's weird.
So I entered your information first before you entered mine, so it's sitting in there and idle. So yeah, when next time I go into my friends list, it should say, you're now friends with Justin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I love the theme package. Like,
oh, did you get that one? You got the links.
I got the Link Between Worlds 3D package. Like, I love the fact that you can change your themes ever. Like, I mean, it sounds like such a trivial thing, but that's a nice way to keep it refreshed. I know that we don't get the external faceplates, but that's kind of a fun little feature.
Yeah, I have quite a few. When I bought Ultimate NES Remix, it came with the Famicom theme. By the way, if you ever buy a game on the eShop and it comes with a theme, it is the most awkward, weird way that they do it. So they actually put the code in the digital receipt that is in the eShop. And
really?
So you, yeah. So like, I actually had to go back and... you go through your purchase history and say, view the receipt, and you like scroll down through all of like the text that nobody ever reads, and it has the code right there. And so I like took a picture on my phone and then put it in. It happened just yesterday because I bought the Monster Hunter. If you buy Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, it comes with the theme as well. So
interesting.
So yeah, I've got quite a few themes actually.
I was going to say, speaking of themes, codename Steam Theme, I'm willing to bet you.
Oh, dude, I'm...
Say that 10 times.
By the way, I know it's not in our notes, but can we just talk for a brief second about that new Codename Steam trailer with the with the Abraham Lincoln steam mech and how ridiculous that is.
It looks like it's over the top. Yeah, but it's over top in what the world they've created is like, yep, that sounds about right.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it had like this wonderful sort of like, I kind of got the same feeling out of it as I did from like Power Rangers, sort of like huge, huge, ridiculous robots, like very Japanese, but also steampunk, you know, steampunk American Turtle. Style. Yeah, it was just great. It was so good. I'm really, and I, that was something that was like actually surprised me that was coming from that. It was seeing the gameplay of the huge mechs fighting. Yeah, that was something I didn't even conceive of before seeing that trailer. So I think that we're going to be really pleasantly surprised from that game.
Oh, absolutely. So, but, yeah, final thoughts, just a tremendous system. So happy and so impressed with it. And it's a thing that now kind of in the morning I get up and I grab my cell phone and I grab this and I throw this in my messenger bag as I'm going.
Yep.
Right. And oh, it's at lunch. I'll pop it out and I'll play, you know, at lunch today. I played about 45 minutes of the demo and cleared out two of my street passes. And you're like, all right, well, that's it. And throw it back in. So, yeah.
And there is no feeling quite like grabbing your 3DS and looking at it and seeing the little green light. And you're like, yes, I've got something good waiting for me. Right. Yeah. Even if it's just like, it's such the littlest thing. And some street pass, functionality in some games that are around is just
did
great.
Did you get the gold pants, Reggie?
I did. Oh, well, I don't and think I did.
What
I think
was wearing on his
he
head?
Was wearing the, it was the Epona hat.
Oh, duh.
Yeah. It well, was an
why
Epona.
Why are you wearing a horse? That makes no sense.
No, it was the Epona hat for Majora's Mask. Now. Yeah.
Yeah. I got that one stock as well.
Yeah.
I think I have three Reggies now.
Yeah, I transferred one of them to my Mii Maker, I think, because of Tamagotchi Life. But right on. Cool. So let's move on from the new 3DS and talk a little bit about the investor briefing. There wasn't a ton that came out from this. Now, of course, this was postponed a few weeks. It was supposed to happen in January, but Iwata became sick. And so he had a fever or something, apparently. And so they
with
postponed
some more cowbell.
It. Yep, exactly. So the only prescription was a postponed investor briefing. Basically, just a little bit of news that came out of that. First of all, a lot of people were expecting that they were going to talk about their quality of life platform or their expanded licensing initiatives. Neither of those things were talked about, although they said that they were planning on talking about them, and they should be able to talk about them soon. So basically the next time they have their investor briefing, which would be when, do you know, Jesse, off the top of your head, like when they
no,
would have it again?
I imagine it would be,
is it every quarter or every 6 months?
It's every 6 months, isn't it?
They're usually quarterly, you know, because the end of the fiscal year for Nintendo is end of March. So I'd imagine
I think they had it in October,
second or third week in April.
I think they had it in October or something like that last time. So we should be hearing about their quality of life and their expanded licensing thing soon. That's all they really said. They teased some unannounced games, talked some stats that we kind of won't get into. One thing that was interesting is they were only expecting to have four what they call double million sellers. So I'm assuming that means 2 million or above sellers in 2014. And they ended up having six, which was kind of interesting for 3DS. And then they talked a lot about amiibos and sort of amiibo and the fact that one funny thing that they mentioned was, oh, some of the amiibo that have been have completely sold out and are going for auctions online at premium prices. This was something we did not expect. And they're like, really? Like,
really? Yeah.
They're completely caught off guard by the fact that people were selling these on eBay for really high prices.
Which reminds me, let's see how much is. See how much Majora's 3DS costs.
Yeah. Joel, let me tell you, dude. Yeah, I can tell you about that because I'm one of those annoying scalpers, maybe. I managed to get a pre-order in and then decided to fund my purchase of the new 3DS with getting that one instead, getting a regular one. Anyway.
Holy crap.
Yeah, they...
One auction for the Japanese model, it's advertised as 60 sold. I'm like, you
jerk.
Mega scalper.
Yeah, seriously. So talking about Amiibo, they said that they are, again, reiterated the fact that they are planning on bringing cards later this year, which from a gameplay functionality standpoint, I think is a great idea. I think that yes, you do want to have the collectible figures, but if you are going to rely upon these Amiibos to attract people, for the games like Codename Steam, for example, frankly, I'm a little bit annoyed that I can't get a Marth Amiibo to play in Codename Steam. You know, it's something that I would enjoy having if I could find one, but I don't want to spend any more than the regular price for it.
And but you do have an Ike.
I do have an Ike, and that's awesome, and I'm really excited for that. But the prospect of them having the card Amiibo, I think, is a great idea if they really want the gameplay functionality of that to move forward. And until they can do that, I don't think it's going to really be as successful on the gameplay side as they want it to be. And they also talked about the virtual console trials for Amiibo. And so that is something that is apparently going to be coming. I think they even said before E3, like we could be seeing this very soon.
It sounds like this is just merely a patch that they have to put in.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's a patch or the way that they described it in the presentation was basically they made some sort of a reference to that it will have the same sort of feel as changing out an NES cartridge. So when you take one Amiibo and put it on there, then there's some sort of visual representation of taking out a cartridge and putting a new one in. And so my guess is that it's going to be a standalone app or a standalone sort of download that you can get for free. And you would just put the Amiibo on there and it would be interactive with Amiibo. Although I've thought for a while that they really should just have a virtual console app that you can just use, you know, have in-app purchases for all of your virtual console stuff, but I doubt that's what they're going to do here. Probably just be an Amiibo trial sort of app there is kind of the thing. And again, we're going to be seeing that pretty soon, so. So yeah, that's the basic briefing from that. The main news also that they mentioned that they are planning on doing single runs of Amiibo, which is something that apparently they weren't doing before. I don't know. But they're saying, and what we suspect is that's probably something like what has been announced or leaked, that the gold Mario that we talked about a couple of weeks ago is a Walmart exclusive, which is super not fun for collectors and things like that.
So I wonder where the silver Mario is and whose exclusive that is.
Well, if Walmart is gold, then what's silver?
Target?
You see, there's no Target in Canada anymore, so then what are they?
I don't think that's going to matter to them.
No.
EB Games?
Oh, GameStop. Oh, dude. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, finally, I guess we could talk a little bit about the fact that, talking about the cards, I put up a video on our YouTube channel because, like we had talked about before, the idea that it's great to have a 3DS or Amiibo for your Wii U, but to have an Amiibo for your 3DS, you don't want to haul those cards around, or you don't want to haul these figures around with you all the time. And so what I did was, after we recorded last week, or just as we were recording, basically I was like, man, you know what? I'm going to just try something. So I went to the store and bought an Amiibo. It was another Samus. They had a bunch of Samuses at Toys R Us. And so I bought a Samus Amiibo and I brought it home and cracked that thing open and took the NFC chip out of the bottom of the base and basically I put it on the Samus AR card that comes with the 3DS. And then just like drew like a little picture custom art thing on a piece of paper and just laminated the whole thing. So now I have like a wallet sized Amiibo card that I've been carrying around with me. You can check out our YouTube channel if you want to see exactly how that works, but, how to get it out. But it was actually surprisingly easy to get it out. You just have to be careful not to damage it, as you access it through the bottom. But basically you just pop the bottom out of that thing. And if you just want to display it afterwards, it's totally fine. So, anyway, I thought it was pretty cool. Did you guys see the card? Like, is that something? What are your thoughts in general about like the card Amiibo versus like figurines and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think So I love that, you know, Zach, you and I both are very open about our amiibo addiction and their figurines. So I think the figurines are great. I do think when you talk about the portability, however, with a 3DS, I think that's really where you have to look for something that is much more portable, you know, than pulling around these four or five figures that you may carry with you depending on the games you have. And I think you do need that card. And I actually think, you know, when I unbundled the 3DS I received on Friday, those AR cards that were in there, I think it's a great example of how you could have like one side being an AR card and the back side being like, you know, the amiibo image or whatever it is. I think the card idea, I think, is smart. I think from a production standpoint, it's smart. Logistically, from a travel perspective or moving around, I think it's an easy, smart idea as well. So I think it's a great idea. I'm going to be interested to see what that first run looks like. Like, are we talking cards like, you know, like hockey card size? Are we talking, you know, like, I'm curious, like, what those would look like.
Yeah.
And are they just simply a picture of, like, Mario? Right. And then are there different series? Like, I mean, I think there's a,
are they randomized? Are they?
Yeah. Do I go down to like, you know, the 7-Eleven here and pay $4 for a pack of like random Nintendo cards?
And we've kind of had this discussion before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I'm curious like what that actually looks like.
Yeah, totally. I definitely am looking forward to it. I'm a big sort of collectible card thing fan, but I don't know. It's fun. It's fun now to be able to like, to, you know, I'm sitting at, you know, on my break at work or whatever, and I'm like, I'm going to train my amiibo a little bit and like pull out my card and just kind of play a little bit and stuff like that. It's pretty fun. So,
well, that'd be interesting if it was cross functional between, right? So imagine if you have your Mario figurine amiibo tied to your Wii U Smash and you have the exact same figurine ID tied to a card.
So it was actually the same
Mario.
Oh yeah, that would be interesting.
Because isn't that how it works right now with your actual like, if you have a Mario for the Wii U Smash that you've been training to like level 50, and you import him into the 3DS Smash, he comes in with that level 50 and all the
And he's got access. Actually, equipment. It was interesting because with the Samus, like I initially registered it on my Wii U, and I went to go and customize the moveset, right? And I hadn't unlocked any of the moveset or the custom moves for Samus on the Wii U. So I scanned it into the 3DS version, and I've played that one much more than I have the Wii U version. And so I was like, oh, I've actually got several of these customizable. And so I actually was able to customize the moves and then put it back on there, and it was totally fine. So it definitely transfers back and forth between the Wii U and the 3DS. So. Definitely, it's a very cool idea.
I wouldn't be shocked if in the future you see the amiibos come with a card as well, like the statues.
Yeah, although I wonder if, I mean, because you're saving it on one particular amiibo, like it would have to come basically with two amiibos at that point then.
Yeah, I guess, good point.
So like it would basically be the equivalent of two figures, like whether it's in a chip or in a card, point. Right? So yeah, anyways. So that's the investor briefing. Not a whole lot of new information coming out of it, but kind of cool. Final bit of news is that Kirby and the Rainbow Curse is coming out, what, tomorrow?
Yeah.
Friday? Yep. Yeah. So Friday, Kirby and the Rainbow Curse comes out. It's kind of getting, what is it, 75, 70, something like that?
74 on the Metacritic, yeah. We're hearing, you know, kind of like, yeah, it's all right. It's not a bad game.
It's pretty good. It's just that you have to play the whole thing from the gamepad.
Yep. It's
the biggest quarrel. Wow, man. With a game that beautiful, and I want to watch it on the TV, you know? And I think this kind of gets back to what we were talking about last week, talking about the, you know, even the transition that the 3DS kind of went from the DS to the 3DS, where a lot of the gameplay, you want it to be, you know, when you're doing those touch-based games, and you really want to focus on the touch interface, both on the 3DS and on the Wii U, it's really difficult to do that because you've got either the beautiful 3D screen right above the touch screen, or you've got the actual huge TV, you know, that you want to be watching everything on in HD, and yet you're using stylus controls to, and staring at this low resolution gamepad screen that isn't that impressive of a screen. So too bad. I am still interested in it. And it's nice that it's a $40 price point or $45 in Canada. You know, it is a lower price point, and I think that was a good move by Nintendo. So we'll definitely see. Are either of you guys planning on picking this one up?
No.
No, this one, you know, the unfortunate part with this one, and I think this may be the challenge, is this game may get caught in the fair weather of all the other great games that are out at this point.
Yeah.
And either that are currently out or are very close in the pipeline that are coming out. Right. And if you, you know, kind of like, well, for all of us, we all have limited budgets, by which we can spend money on gaming and stuff like this, because we have families and jobs and stuff like that. That unfortunately, this is probably a number 7 or 8 that I pick up, mm-hmm. on that list of 10 of the top 10s. The challenge for it, though, is I think when we talk about especially family and gaming, this looks like a beautiful game to play with kids.
Totally.
You know, the colors are vibrant. It doesn't look too difficult. It's
got a great multiplayer mm-hmm. aspect to it as well. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of positive things for sure for this one. So, yeah, I don't know. At this point, I'm not going to be able to.
Yeah. Right on. Well, let's head on, finally wrapping up the show with a little bit of our listener mail. All right, Justin, what do we have for listener mail this week?
Yeah, so what we have, bear with me 1 second here, is we actually got a message from Brett. And Brett, bear with me. Come on, computer. You're going to freeze, aren't you? Sorry, guys. Hold on a second. This is the worst. I lost my Google Doc. It shut down. Let's vamp. So let's actually just talk about Brett first and foremost. So Brett is actually going to reach out to us on Twitter, and you can follow us on Twitter at Nintendo Dads. But what he did was he reached out and said, "Hey guys, did you know that Pokemon Shuffle is out today? It's free to play. The game is easy. Not sure. I'm sure it's going to get more difficult. Hoping you use eShop purchasing stuff." So yeah, so Pokemon Shuffle. Now this was a game that they had talked about back in early January.
Is it the Nintendo Direct? Yeah.
Nintendo Direct, they talk about Pokemon Shuffle. For those of you that recall, this is essentially Candy Crush for the Nintendo. I picked it up. Zach, you said you picked it up.
Yeah, I played through the first. You know, it's got the sort of the Candy Crush sort of resource thing. You get 5 hearts initially, or 5 hertz, as Iwata was saying. Mm-hmm. So I played through the first 5 levels of that. And, yeah, it's using, I think, the same assets as, I think it was called Battle Troze, Pokemon Battle Troze, except it's got all of the new Pokemon from Pokemon X and Y. And the nice difference that I've seen so far is that in Pokemon Battle Troze, A, it was a paid game, which, you know, so this one's free, obviously. But this one is nice because it's not timed. It's based on the number of turns that you take, and you have to beat it within a certain number of turns. Whereas the other one, it was time-based. And so if you didn't beat it with a certain time, then you would start taking damage, and then eventually you would lose. And so I mean, very early impressions here, but I kind of like that better, than the alternative of the timed sort of stressful environment there. I like the little bit more relaxed feel that this one has. So
yeah, I played it for a little bit. I'm not a huge Candy Crush fan at all. Like I don't really get the game. But I thought that, you know, the one thing I would say that the game does is it does a really great, it's a very great tutorial on how to play the game. Mm-hmm. And I thought that it was really compelling for that. I found the challenges that I had was when you were going up against an enemy, it would say like, you know, here's Charizard, and the thing you should, you know, the best thing to to fight him with is like the water Pokemon thing. And I'm like, I don't know which one the water Pokemon thing is. And they give you like a hint, like a name of it. And I'm like, I still don't know which one that is. Cause it all looks like freaking
great. So you're just like, whatever, just hit the optimize. Actually, that's another thing. You hit the optimize button and it just does it all for you.
Yeah. So that's what I did instead. And I was like, okay, well, this makes a lot more sense. But I mean, I think it's an interesting experiment that Nintendo has doing this kind of like, it's not the first time they've done a free to play, but this is a free to play on a, well, I shouldn't say freemium, right? Cause they're going to microtransaction you, in a market that is, you know, like we know the market's there for Candy Crush and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's an interesting approach to taking this, but yeah, for free, it's not bad. And you know, I definitely at no point felt like I had to actually purchase anything. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Cause when I ran out of my 5 hearts, it's like, well, you get a heart back in 30 minutes. I was like, okay, well,
you got a show to do. See you later.
See you in 30 minutes. Right. Like at no point did I feel like, oh no. And you earn coins that can buy hearts for lives. Like, so I don't know. Maybe to Brett's point, like further along, it becomes more of a necessity to make an actual transaction, but I'm not seeing that value at this point at all. But that's
yeah,
just me.
And I'll be interested as well to know, like, it, you start with 5 hearts, but, you know, does this continue giving you a new heart every half hour? Like, does it cap you at 5 again? And then you have to buy more if you buy more, then you have more than 5. I don't know. But
yeah, that's a good point.
But yeah, well, thanks, Brett, for that email though. Jesse, did you try it out yet? Are you going to try it out?
I didn't even know it launched until you guys told me.
It launched on a freaking Wednesday too. That was the weird thing, right?
Yeah, I saw that it released in Europe on Wednesday, and I thought, oh, well, we'll get it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Nope, today.
You know, normally when I play a 3DS game, I don't ever kill it. I just shut the lid and put it aside and then come back to it the next day. So my 9 hours that I showed you in the log of Majora says it's been 9 hours in one play session.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I haven't gone back. I haven't exited the menu until today when I went to look at the log. So,
yeah, no, that's crazy. So,
sorry, taking a bit of a brief tangent off that. Another thing I really love about the 3DS, when you're speaking of downloading or closing it, is the download later function.
Totally.
That is amazing. You can queue up 10 games. And then when you're, you know, going to bed or whatever, you put in your, you know, you close a lid on it, and then the next morning they're all there. That's fantastic.
I love
that. That wasn't the thing initially. They patched that in later. Like,
that's freaking brilliant.
Yeah, it used to be that you would have to sit there and watch the little beads fall into the box every time you downloaded.
Which wasn't so bad initially because the games weren't that large yet. You know, I don't think they had a game bigger than a gig yet, but now they've got 3 gig games.
Yeah, and that's actually, that was one thing that I was going to mention is, Monster Hunter 4 is 2.5 gigs, and it downloaded in like 30 minutes, 30, wow. 45 minutes, something like that. It was crazy fast. So definitely that would have taken I probably would have taken twice as long to do on the old 3DS. So
Zach, cause you've done some of the ones where you've done the pre-install, right?
I haven't done pre-install on the 3DS. I've done it on the Wii U. But okay, I haven't done it on the 3DS.
I was going to ask, like, if you do like a pre-install on the 3DS, like if I go to bed, you know, at 10 o'clock at night and I, you know, my thing's shut, you know, it's in sleep mode, in theory, the next morning, should I wake up and my pre-installed games are there?
I haven't seen pre-installed games on the 3DS yet.
I thought that existed.
I'm not sure if it does. Maybe it does.
I thought that was only on like 2 or 3 select Wii U games. I don't think
they've done it for the 3DS yet.
Oh, okay.
And the way the 3DS patches is different than the way Wii U patches, so I'm not even sure if it would work.
Of course it is.
Yeah, you actually have to go, it's like, oh, there's an assist, or there's an update for the, you know, for Monster Hunter. Like, I downloaded Monster Hunter, and then it was like, oh, well, there's a patch 1.1, so launch the eShop, go to Monster Hunter, and it's like right there saying, here's patch 1.1, and you have to download it like it's a brand new app.
I was listening to Nintendo World Report's podcast. They were talking about Moon Chronicles, and
that purchase is,
it took like 20 minutes to do it because you had to launch the game. Oh, you have to download the patch. So exit the game, go to eShop, download the patch, exit eShop, go back to the game to install it. And then, okay, now you have the choice to go to DLC, which you have to do from the game, which then goes back into eShop. You can't just buy it from eShop while you're there.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, I don't know. Nintendo's learning. And I mean, there at least that we have all of these things now. You know, they're learning. I'm willing to be patient with them, I guess. But, yeah.
Yeah, earlier when you said that we were kind of talking negative on Nintendo, and you know, a lot of people, you know, think that I'm a fanboy. I'm like, I don't consider myself a fanboy of Nintendo at all. I find myself one of the most highly critical of them.
Yeah, me too. I think it's because
there's a difference. You know, fanboys will just say, yes, everything they do is perfect. But no, I'm like, no.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty highly...
I'm the first to say when they screwed up.
Yeah. And I think that actually is more of a sort of a statement of, you could do so much better, and we can, you know, like, there's so much potential there. And when Nintendo knocks it out of the park, it's amazing. And then, so I think it just makes it that much more frustrating when it's, you know, we see these stumbles and these imperfections and whatnot.
And they stumble on the things that have been done right so many times in the past.
Exactly. Right on.
That's the problem.
Totally. So, Justin, what do we have here just at the end?
Yeah. So this is interesting. Kind of got me thinking. Actually got me a little bit thinking about kind of Brett's comments above as well. So when Brett had actually, I had seen him on Twitter, he mentioned he's actually going to pick up Kirby and the Rainbow Curse probably this Friday. I asked him on Twitter, I said, hey, Brett, could you, sir, call into our show using our voicemail, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, and leave a voicemail for just a quick review, like less than 3 minutes. What was your review? And we'd love to play on the show. Which actually kind of got me thinking about Luke Lore's comment last week when he mentioned Armello to us, and actually even commented on Twitter today. He's like, hey, have any of you guys on the Nintendo Dads podcast had a chance to pick it up? My response is, no, we haven't. And he kind of made the joke of like, what, you guys have kids and families and jobs? Like, come on, seriously. And we kind of laughed about it. And it was a good point that, you know, we are people who, you know, we have full-time jobs. Some of us have other part-time jobs. We have kids that we're raising. We have families that we're committed to, education that we're pursuing. So sometimes we don't get a chance to play as many games as we want to play. And there's so many great games that are out there. So very often you'll hear us talk about games that we have obviously recently played. But we, over the last several weeks, several months, have just been building such a fantastic community here with the Nintendo Dads who are just so supportive of the work that we do. We see it on Facebook. We see it on Twitter. We see it on all the stuff that we do, that we'd kind of like to actually open up this door a little bit more and say that if there's a game that you have played, kind of like Luke did and like Brett's going to be doing, that you really like and that you want to maybe really like, maybe you sort of don't even like it at all, but you're like, oh, I should warn people about this. Feel free to, you know, either let us know on Facebook, Twitter, but we'd love, you know, we'd like to hear from you. Actually, you listen to us every single week. We'd love to hear from you by using the voicemail where you can call in at 929-2N-25. And Dads, and we're gonna give that number later, but we'd love for if you guys take you guys find those games that you like, you don't like, send us in a voicemail clip with the review. Actually, you can even just, if you have a phone, you can even just create like an audio file and email us at Gmail account, and we'll play on the show. We'd love to hear from you guys, your feedback of games, so that we can share those games and those reviews right from you guys, right from the people who are playing them, to the vast Nintendo Dads community, and build more camaraderie and communication around those games as well. So that's kind of our challenge, the Nintendo Dads challenge to you, the listener, to do that. We'd love to hear from you and participate as well.
Absolutely. Awesome. Yeah. And yeah, just kind of echoing what you said, Justin, you know, if you are wanting to do something even a little bit more, if you've got a knack for the sort of audio production or something, and you want to put in a little bit of fancy editing and music or whatever, like, we could have segments, you know, that we play in breaks and things like that, or at the end of the show, we could do that too. So if you've got any ideas for anything that you would want to do, please send us an email on nintendodads@gmail.com or contact us on the various social media outlets. So let's cue up our final music here as we round out the show. Here we go. There it is. Beauty. So yeah, thanks everybody for listening to us this week. As we've said in the past, you can follow us on all of the social medias at Nintendo Dads. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Google+, twitch.tv/Nintendo Dads. You can email us at nintendodads@gmail.com. Call and leave us a voicemail, 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Big thanks to OC Remix for our music that we use, both our intros and outros. And thank you once again to Carter Johnson for providing our amazing artwork, megacarter.tumblr.com. And of course, head over to iTunes and leave us a review over there. You can download and subscribe over on iTunes, Stitcher, and of course, vgtribune.com. Any final words as we head out tonight, guys?
No, I guess not. I tried to think of something witty and nothing came out.
Right.
No, I think the biggest thing that we'd say is, you know, guys, this is amazing. We're at our 15th episode, and thank you guys very much for your support. We are amazed by the support and the love that we see every single week on both the downloads that you're bringing down, the sharing that you're doing on social media, the reaching out to us. So thank you guys very much. This show, we started, we didn't know who would really listen, if anyone would, and we're 15 episodes in, and just the response that we're getting is tremendous. So thank you guys very much for this. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And I guess my final words would be, you've met a terrible fate, haven't you? Said the happy mask salesman.
Wow. Well done. Well done, sir.
All right. See you guys next week. Bye-bye.
I feel like there's always one person that tunes into Twitch just to watch you dance at the very end there, Zach.
I wouldn't blame them.
Just one guy's like, yes, dance, my puppet, dance.
Dance. You're such a good dancer.
Dancer. Jeez.
I will never dance again. My dancing is done.